Friends Forever, episode 2. This is the podcast where I invite a friend, acquaintance, stranger into the bar. We're filming in beautiful Oyamadai, Tokyo at Chelles Craft Beer Bar. And I invite somebody in, ask them some questions. I'm Rene Baez. I am your host. So I've got Rachel Dow with me today. Please introduce yourself, who you are, and what you do here in Tokyo.
Well, let's see. I'm currently a chef. I work in Hiro at a restaurant called Salam, which is Middle Eastern. But I've been in the industry for like 20 years, starting when I was young. So yeah, I did graphic design for a while, and then I decided I didn't like office life and like staring at a computer all day. I was getting like vertigo.
Oh, that's horrible.
Like, just that weird, like kind of floating, like kind of dizziness.
What do you mean? Is it from like the fluorescent lights and just staring at a screen?
I think it's all of it. Like fluorescent lights, like the screen is like 2D, but obviously you see in three dimensions, but like also not moving and just like kind of... And also, you know, it's like the old school, because this was back in the day. Like the CRT monitors, I don't know, it was like frying my brain. I'm not really sure exactly what it was. Yeah, so I went back to school. I went to culinary school and...
Sweet.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend it. It was kind of a waste of money, but kids out there, don't go to culinary school.
You learned core skills there though, right?
I mean, yes, but it wasn't worth the like $60,000 I paid. Like if you're a young person out there wanting to get in the hustle, just start working somewhere that you're interested in. And like if you show that you're like, what's the word? Like...
competent?
Just like diligent enough, you know, like kind of dedicated and interested. You know, I think
people will train you.
Yeah.
People will help you.
It's hard with no experience to get hired sometimes in restaurants, but if you show up and, you know, you're on time and you listen, like I think any chef would probably be willing to train you.
Isn't that crazy though? Like when you say that, because, I've always had these like visions when I was younger, like watching Food Network and shit like that. And I'm like, oh my God, such a glamorous fucking life, like to work in the kitchen and how amazing and shit. But it's a job. I know you're like fucking laughing, but like it's a job full of fuck ups like everybody else, right?
It
like,
is kind of the like island of misfit toys. If I write a tell-all book about a kitchen, it's going to be titled Mamas, Don't Let Your Babies Grow Up to Be Line Cooks. Because, I mean, we all have seen Anthony Bourdain's, he's not too far off the hook. I mean, luckily I never went down the opioid trail there. You know, it's a lot of working and late nights and like kind of toxic environments. Yeah. Honestly,
so his like, book was a different time, but like the fucking shit hasn't changed that much then.
I mean, it's getting better. And you know, I would personally like to create like an atmosphere of like respect and
so better for who then in that sense? Do you mean like just all cooks, or do you mean because I can't help but notice you're a woman.
It is a thing.
Do you mean better for women or just all like employees?
I'm going to say everybody, but you know, it is challenging as a woman just because it's a boys club, but everywhere's a boys club if you're a woman.
That's fair. Yeah. That's fucking fair.
I mean, that's part of the reason I came to Japan. I had a chef friend in Osaka and he was like, oh, you should come to Japan. There's not that many female chefs here. So it would... say like marketing, but like it would be like a good angle for you, and that kind of like planted the seed of me coming here,
and that seed fucking grew,
and then Donald Trump got elected and I had to get the fuck out of there.
But your timing was good. Shit, we might have come here around the same time.
Really?
Yeah. How long have you been here now?
Like 5.5 years.
Yeah,
six in December.
Yeah six. So I just beat you. Sure. We'll go with that. Sure. Why not? Michael, hi. Okay. Thank you for that brief introduction. There's definitely more things I want to know about like your journey to Japan, but thanks for kind of telling us who you are and stuff. One of the things that you said that I just wanted to touch on really quickly was the culinary school aspect. So in our shop, we make tacos. We have a very small menu. We're focused on craft beer. I never went to culinary school. I cooked at home a lot. And when I was moved here, there wasn't a lot of good Mexican food. And I'd venture to say that it's changing. But in general, I think that one of the things you said was that as a young person, right, that's looking to break into culinary or restaurant industry, that you don't necessarily have to go to culinary school if you are fucking competent, if you're diligent, if you're passionate about what you're doing. Maybe you can talk a little bit about, you know, your experience and what originally got you into cooking.
I mean, I loved eating from a young age. Mm. As my mom said, I was her good little eater. Like, I don't really like natto. Sorry, Japan. It's not the smell.
Really?
It's really the, like, it's not the sliminess. It's just hard to eat. Like, I don't mind it, but just not my favorite.
You're just saying it takes work. Yeah. You're not willing to put in the work.
It's like a pain to eat, really. Okay. That's the only, like, caveat I have with that. Mm. But I was always interested in what they were doing in the kitchen. But my mom wasn't a great cook. Like, she's Midwestern, like, condensed soup, casseroles, and, like, you know.
I mean, if you're like trying to turn me off.
Spaghetti sauce.
Yeah, that actually sounds great to me. But
I do love a casserole.
Cream of mushroom, etc.
Like, my dad was a little more adventurous because he didn't cook most of the time. So he would try to, like, make pasta.
Okay. And he'd use, like, salt and shit like that.
I mean, he would, like, literally make, like, hand make the pasta.
Oh, what the fuck?
Not,
really?
Not often.
Right.
It was just, like, a hobby for him.
Oh, but, that's,
like,
great, though.
Of course, he liked to barbecue.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So,
well, where are you from again?
I was born in Georgia.
Georgia.
Savannah.
Okay.
But my family moved around quite a bit. Yeah. But I spent most of my, like, young life in the suburbs of Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay, sure. So barbecue.
Barbecue.
Obviously is a big thing there.
Meth. There's a lot of meth.
Meth.
Right. I did not do it. But yeah, there was a lot of meth.
Did they barbecue the meth?
It's very possible.
Okay.
I wouldn't put it past them.
This is not the... Okay. Interesting dry rub idea.
I consider Missouri the South. It's part of the Bible Belt.
I think so. Yeah. I would definitely say Missouri is the South. Yeah. You did go to culinary school. How long were you in culinary school?
I did a 2-year program.
Okay.
Which was like an accelerated program. And the school that I went to, you could actually get your like bachelor's, like a 4-year degree if you wanted.
But
I did not want that.
Yeah, okay.
It was quite expensive. It did have nice facilities. It was nicer than the other school. So I chose that place.
Yeah. What city was this in?
Chicago.
In Chicago. Got it.
I lived in Chicago for 15 years. Mm. So that was the last place I lived in America before I came here.
Chicago's a pretty great fucking food city.
It is. I mean, I might be a little biased, but
sure.
I would say one of the best in the country just because they have the hospitality and there's just a lot of talent there.
Yeah.
And it's cold as fuck for 6 months. So people need to eat and drink.
Yeah.
So they don't like get depressed.
Well, sure.
They're still depressed, but they eat and drink. I mean, there's some like heavy hitters there.
Yeah.
And I worked for a lot of big companies there, but I was kind of done. Hmm. And that's partially why I didn't want to live in LA. Sorry, California.
Well, you know, I'm from San Diego. We definitely have like a love and hate with LA. So
I just didn't want to drive everywhere. That was part of the thing. And like New York is not for me either. And then I came to visit Japan. And I mean, I think everybody kind of falls in love with a place when they travel there and has that like rose-tinted view of like, oh, I could totally live here.
100%.
But ever since that chef planted that bug in my ear, I just was like, you know, I'm gonna fucking do this because I always wanted to live overseas and I'm not getting any younger and I had the time and money and I didn't want to regret it later and be like, now stuck
in America.
I
never lived somewhere else but the US. I mean, like, I think you and I share that really that commonality where I moved to Japan when I was 40, you know, so for like a lot of people, it's a different thing. You know, and you meet a lot of younger people who are like, man, I really, you know, I came to Japan because I like the culture and like manga and anime. And I'm not trying to pigeonhole everybody because obviously, you know, everybody has a different experience. But there was a lot of that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But I think when you move here at 40, there is definitely like a different motivation, you know. And for me, you kind of pegged it when you said I wanted to live in another country. For me, like before it was like too late or I got older or whatever, because I was very, very comfortable in my life back home. And I love my city. I love San Diego. but I definitely wanted something else. And I know Chicago is a pretty great town. Mm. And like I said, food wise, you know, I won't go through all the restaurants that I went to when I visited, but the main purpose for visiting Chicago with friends was Alinea, right? So we went there specifically to fucking have dinner. And that's how, like, I think, you know.
Well, speaking of toxic working environments, he is renowned for that. We won't go down that wormhole there, but
yeah,
a lot of the fine dining really turned me off to that. And that's to this day why I really have no interest in fine dining.
Yeah.
With the customers and the atmosphere, I just prefer like a lighter, not super casual, like upscale casual, I know is like a catchphrase that a lot of places are using in America.
I don't think it's wrong though. I think it's a good buzzword, like upscale casual. Mm. I think it definitely like identifies a particular like set of things, right?
Like you still have that like fine dining sensibility where you still have attention to detail and like always like eyes on the customer and like, you know, taking care of the tables and things, but just not like, you know, white tablecloth and like super over the top. I feel like it's alienating and kind of classist as well. You know, places like Alinea, like I would never go unless somebody else is paying. I'm never fucking spending $800 on a meal. Like, get fucked. Like, sorry.
Oh, okay. Well, you're a cheap ass. You clearly didn't get the wine fucking pairing options. Yo.
Obviously. Oh, it needs to be a grand?
Fucking. Oh, my God. It was insane, yo. Like, so I went with some friends, one friend who is in the food industry. And I always wanted to go there because it did look amazing and stuff. The long and the short of it is the food was amazing. The atmosphere, though, you have to make yourself comfortable. You know, if you come into a place like that, I think people tend to feel uncomfortable right away because it's so alien.
It's like, and also I just feel like it's stiff.
Yeah. The pomp and the circumstance and shit. So I think it's really nice when you go with a group of friends because then you kind of stake out your claim and you guys are very comfortable with each other. So you know what to expect. It's not that serious. I already spent a shit ton of fucking money. I'm going to enjoy the fuck out of this. There are definitely places where I've been where it's it takes some work to feel comfortable, which I don't fucking necessarily feel it has to be that way. Mm. You know, and Japan is a whole different story because in my personal opinion, it's the fucking best food city in the world.
I agree.
Yeah. However, as you also know, like without like the language or with the language barrier, maybe it's a bit easier for you, but there's definitely moments where I'm in certain places where I generally feel uncomfortable because I can't communicate. There's a high level of service and the food is amazing. I can't fucking form a sentence to communicate with like the staff or the chef in like a proper way. Hmm. That's a bit frustrating, right? Most places are very open and welcoming of foreigners or guests, etc.
I mean, they have to be if they want to survive. It's very also competitive and cutthroat here because there are so many restaurants. It's like bananas.
Any station though, right? Like, I mean, I don't think that I'm you know, simplifying things. I think that literally you could probably go to most stations and a rock, you know, stone's throw away, there's probably gonna be a restaurant that's pretty good, you know, considering whatever is around.
I think the only like truly bad food I had was like a random izakaya in like Shibuya that I'm sure is a chain. And, you know, because there are so many restaurants, the food service industry, like the suppliers and stuff, a lot of those like gobo salads or like potato, whatever, like they're it's just in a bag. They just like cut it open and like plop it in a plate.
Yep.
So that was like the only like not great experience I've had. But like, you know, like even konbini, while not amazing, like in a pinch.
Oh my God. Still compared to like 7-Eleven. Those fucking hot dogs that have been spinning on there since like fucking, you know, Memorial Day or whatever. Like that shit's nasty. I
literally never bought any ready to eat food at a gas station in
before?
America.
Or in the US?
In the US. Like chips or candy, yes, but like hot items.
Yeah, I can't.
Or like a sandwich. I was always super suspect.
Yeah, I can't say I've done that either. You're right. Even a sandwich like with the wilted lettuce. But here, fucking sandwich. Those shits are so fresh.
Have
like,
you seen,
it's crazy.
They have potato salad sandwiches at konbini. It is.
No, wait, what?
Potato salad between two slices of
bread. Wait, which konbini?
They don't have it all the time. I accidentally bought one once. I thought it was like
egg salad?
Egg salad or tuna. I just wasn't paying attention. And then I took a bite. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit?
What?
Like,
I'm in. I'm already in. But however, though, just on the egg salad tuna thing, I usually go for like that split, right? Like the one
the
tuna
salad
one.
With the ham. the egg and the
tuna. Yeah. You got like the three or whatever. Mm-hmm. That's always nice in like a pinch, especially like at the end of the night when I'm really fucking lazy.
Yeah.
Because let's be honest, you work in the kitchen. You don't want to go home and fucking cook. That's insane.
Literally the last thing I want to do. Luckily, my boyfriend cooks sometimes.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's good. Pretty dope. I'm liking this guy more and more the more you tell me.
He's pretty awesome.
Yeah. Hold on. So I want to back the fuck up. Because I just completely skipped over the quick fire.
Hey,
because obviously your story is already very interesting to me. One, I'm a fan of anybody who makes food their profession, right? Because I think that I'm also not just like a big eater, but like I'm a fan of the whole fucking process. But let's do our quick fire, which is, what did you eat for lunch today?
I had ramen.
Oh, shit, that's right. You literally told me. Well, fuck, you told me and I already knew that. Yeah.
That's fine.
What kind of ramen did you have?
I had tsukemen, which is, I didn't want like a whole like brothy situation. Like I wasn't super hungry, but I knew we were probably going to have a couple drinks. So I needed a base in there, you know. Drinking on an empty stomach is literally the worst idea.
Smart move. Yeah. And we did have a couple drinks before we started because this is
a beer bar.
This is a beer bar. Not a beer podcast, as you can see. Mm. We've talked about that. What's your go-to karaoke song?
You know, recently I've been working on Showa
songs. Shit.
Because I love Snaku.
Okay.
Like, I secretly want to open Snaku. So any investors out there looking, totally into it. I already have a name ready.
Contact me and we can get in touch with her.
The one that I think is the strongest one is Tokyo Lullaby.
Okay.
That I've been working on. And I, because Snack is usually like an older woman and sometimes man. So I kind of want to surprise them that I know some Japanese songs and I'm not just singing like Madonna and like, you know, Cyndi Lauper all the time.
Country Roads and shit, which like everybody knows, right? That's how you like, that's how you got Secret, by the way. That's how you get like the Japanese businessman on your side.
Japan loves the Carpenters.
Really?
And also,
that I didn't know.
I'm like a alto tenor. Like I don't have a high range, so I cannot sing a lot of like women's songs.
Yeah.
So like Karen Carpenter is like right in that sweet spot.
She does have an amazing voice though, obviously. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Interesting. I don't even know what range I'm in. Like, I don't know what's up. Fucking.
I mean, I don't know technically either. But I am not. I do not have the range of some of the popular songs. Like, I tried to do some Adele, and that is
didn't work
out. No go.
Well, who the fuck can do Adele though? Like, properly? Like, nobody.
Right.
That's when you go with like your friend, and like, you know, they start belting out, and you're like, she's like, wow, it was. I did so good. And you're like, you sang all the words. That was.
I did.
That was you nailed all the words.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Adele, that's so crazy. But I don't give a shit. Like I'm a shitty singer, so I don't care if somebody else just like sings shitty next to me as long as they're like feeling it.
Well, that's the fun of it and like the nice part about Japan having the rooms, because at least they're your friends, so if they sing like shit you still like them, where if you have to listen to strangers sing like shit is really super fucking annoying.
Are you not curious though, like if we, you know, transpose like our Japanese karaoke night over to like the US, like how it would translate?
There was actually a place in Chicago they tried to do that, and I think just like karaoke is just such a different beast because you sing in front of everyone, so it's this kind of like showmanship kind of thing.
All
and
the
like
ringers
people just can't
come.
Really like separate it, and either they really like it or they think it's super fucking lame.
Yeah,
like there's not like a gray zone there.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it. I don't want to do it all the time. Oh. But I think if you're coming to Japan, it's definitely worth it. It can be a little expensive.
Yeah.
Which has bit me in the ass before. Because when you, pro tip, if you go to a karaoke place, rent for longer than you think you will need it. Because if you add on while you're there, it is more expensive than if you booked it for like 2 or 3 hours in the beginning. You think you won't do it, but like
they fucking know this. Yeah. It goes by so fast.
I know. It's
crazy.
Because
let's be honest, like you're singing, but it takes probably twice as long to pick the fucking songs. Mm. And then people finally start drinking and getting comfortable. And then you're like, bring, like your time's up.
Yep.
So wait, I still have another quick fire question. Okay. Sorry, I got two more. Beach vacation or mountain retreat?
Oh, that's so hard. Can we do both and go to Izu?
No.
No, it has to be one.
It has to be one.
I'm probably going to pick the beach just because I don't often go to the beach. We go camping quite a bit because I'm fucking working all the time. But like when I can. And I only go camping in spring and fall here because summer is so hot and too many mosquitoes. I cannot do that. I will wilt like a flower.
Nightmare.
So yeah, beach, definitely beach.
Excellent. Okay. What's the weirdest food you've ever eaten? Doesn't have to be here, obviously, anywhere, just in general.
I mean, I'm going to say like whale and horse, and it was here.
And it was here.
Yeah.
Right away, I knew it was here. No. I'm going to take this restaurant in Chicago right by the Bean. They have an excellent whale and horse there, right?
Like, I like both of those animals, but, you know, I also think cows are super cute and still enjoy beef, so I don't place too much guilt there. If you're going to eat one meat, then you got to be equal opportunity omnivore, I feel like, but I don't partake regularly. And like, to be honest, they were kind of like similar, like beef-ish, like both of them, like whale and horse, they're kind of beefy in their vibe.
So again, we've kind of fucking like hit this like nexus where I literally had the same experience as you. Those would be also my fucking two answers.
Really?
Whale and horse. Yeah. Basashi, right? Which is, I understand, not like super common here, but people eat it like fairly regularly. Is that right? And izakayas, like usually like nicer izakayas. The basashi is the horse.
Okay.
Right? With the like sometimes like the fried sauce. Garlic and stuff like that. Maybe not for me, you know. Whale though, I did get bamboozled. So
like they didn't tell you?
My lovely wife, we're at a stand up sushi place in Shibuya. And she ordered like a, you know, just a fucking bunch, like a set. And we're drinking. Yeah. You're grabbing pieces, yeah. Right? You're grabbing your nigiri. And I was like, what is that one's very like smoky? I'm like, I don't think I've ever had like smoky, greasy, bacony sushi. And she's like, oh, that's whale. I'm like, okay, quick thing. I'm from America. I've not had that before.
Yeah.
I'm not judging like cultural things or whatever. Like food is food. Like, you know, I'm a visitor here literally, especially at right. that time. Just tell me.
Yeah.
Tell me that whale is on the menu right. so that I can make a choice about it.
Yeah.
I mean, what was your experience with whale?
It actually wasn't that long ago. It was only like a couple weeks ago. Like okay. I'd seen it on menus, and I also saw there was some company that was like made a whale bacon vending machine that I saw somewhere online trying to promote the whale sales.
Uh-huh.
Because, you know, I think before the war or during the war, after the war, that was the kind of the only meat in certain areas that was available to certain places.
Yeah.
So, I mean, culturally, I totally get it. And, like, I don't, whatever, like, not really into, I don't know, the whole, like, fishing vibe of it, but whatever. Like, again, it's all pretty much the same and pretty brutal. So, I went to izakaya, and we were just like, I can read some kanji, but it's definitely a pretty hard thing for me, and especially like
hand, it's not a common kanji, that one.
Handwritten kanji is so fucking hard, and a lot of menus in Japan are like handwritten kanji, so I cannot. Luckily I was with a Japanese friend, so you know, I was like, all right, I know what this is, what is this one? And he's like, oh, kujita. And I was like, oh, it's whale. He's like, I never had it. He's like, do you want to try it? And I'm like, I feel like I should at least once.
Wait in Rome.
Yeah. So it was with like a sauce, and I think it was like raw, like kind of like tartar.
Oh, really? Okay.
Style, and it was fine.
That's interesting. I also wish the second time I had it, I had also seen it on the menu. However, it was this
another bamboozle.
It was a fucking double bamboo. I got double bamboozled. I was in Fukuoka, and they said it was like a what is it? Robatayaki? Yeah, where like they grill that
that's
stuff.
That's where I had it.
Right? Oh, really?
It was a robatayaki
place. Dude, I think that's a fucking, I think it's like a thing there
we're
and
just
shit.
Like totally it's vibing like a today.
What the fuck? We're like fucking doppelgangers in like a weird way. So I'm in Fukuoka. Like you said, though, it was a bacon and it was like on a plate with other like sashimi and some grilled stuff. So it's kind of like this mixed bag. And I was like, oh, this looks good. You know, of course, like I thought like it looked like bacon. Mm. That tastes different. And then they're like, oh, yeah, you know, like I said, Kojira. And I was like, again, they got me.
Again.
Yeah.
Sneaky Anyways, folks.
We actually never talked about how you got interested in cooking.
I think it's, I started working in restaurants. My first job in restaurants was at Chili's as a hostess.
I know it. I know the place.
And then after that, I just kind of kept working like in college at restaurants. And I worked at like a, again, upscale casual, but like pretty nice restaurant. And
it's pretty good money at that age though, right?
It was.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's definitely a different system than here. But, you know, I was working front of the house there, so you're making tips, where in America, kitchens don't get tips, which is super fucked up, and that might be another topic for later.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I enjoyed, like, the vibe, you know, when people were, like, really excited about food, and, you know, just, like, I also worked at a, kind of like Dina DeLuca, like a...
Like a deli-ish.
It was called The Better Cheddar, and it was,
what, like, a fucking genius marketing name there, The Better Cheddar.
Smart guy. But it was like, you know, gourmet foods. So I was exposed to cheese and spices and olive oils and wine.
Nice.
And I think that really kind of got me interested in it. And I like to host parties, like, for my friends.
Oh, cool.
So
did you like procure some of the meats like cheese and cheeses from those places?
And, you know, like barbecues. Though. Like, I also used to DJ back in the day. Oh. So we'd have a lot of like DJ barbecue situations. So,
and so when you worked at Chili's, was it kind of like that? Like, I don't know, everybody's seen the movie, like Waiting.
I don't think I have.
Are you fucking kidding me? You've never seen this movie?
I'm like the worst movie person. If you're like, have you seen this movie? Like 9 times out of 10, I have not seen that movie.
This is like the Chili's movie.
I haven't seen the like food truck movie.
You ever seen that Chef?
No.
It's literally called Chef.
I know.
It's not a food truck movie.
My mom bought me the DVD and I never watched it.
Do you have a DVD player?
I do not.
Well, that's the first obstacle.
Many moons ago.
Got it. Okay. Yeah,
not recently.
Oh, that's a really great movie too. Wait, are you fucking kidding me? Okay. So Waiting is literally like, I mean, I think it's based on TGI Fridays, but the gist is, you know, you work in one of these like.
I have like vague memories of it.
Okay.
But like.
And then Chef. So you've still not seen Chef?
I have not seen Chef.
We're going to stop the podcast right now. We are going to... No.
Good night, everyone. Thank you for tuning in.
We're going to watch Chef right now. No. But please, fucking, for the love of God, watch it. I know it's so super fucking, like, overplayed and, like, it's part of fucking culture now. And, like, it's not cool because it's everywhere. There is some really cool shit in that movie. So check it out.
I mean, people bring it up often, and when I say I want to open a my own restaurant, everyone's like, what do you do, food truck? And
that's why it's
literally
lame,
the last thing I want to do. Like, putting, like, all of the challenges you have of a kitchen, and now putting a vehicle in the mix, like, where do you go to the bathroom?
Right.
Like, where do you get your deliveries? And driving in Tokyo, are you fucking with me?
No,
like,
no.
No way.
Yeah. And obviously, you go to the bathroom at the konbini like everybody else. So.
Another great part of Japan. Bathrooms are everywhere because people aren't doing heroin in them.
They actually can use the bathroom here.
Yes.
Okay. So thank you for answering that and giving us some background about your interest in cooking. What's your favorite thing to cook? Like, what do you like, genuinely love to cook?
This is always a hard question. And thank you for not phrasing it of like, what's your specialty? Because I really generally dislike that question because I feel like a chef... there's so much food out there to learn.
Yeah.
You know, when you have a restaurant, you're, you know, kind of trying to cater to that concept and kind of keep it tight for the customers, make it easier for them to understand. But there's just so much to learn and like know that like, I mean, as long as you live, you would still have more stuff to learn. And like for me, it's always like try something new, like a new technique or an ingredient that I don't use. Like I love in Japan that there's sansai, the like mountain vegetables that you can only get in Japan. Like they're all pretty bitter. And now that I've discovered that a little bit, like I don't use it in my restaurant. Really, it doesn't really fit the concept, like I said, but.
But for like, yourself, maybe.
Yeah. And I love like pickles, anything pickled I'm fucking down for. So like the oshinko, fermented, like anything, like. Totally down.
But I think that's such a cool thing you bring up is that before I came to Japan, I did not eat a lot of fermented food.
I think that's just American.
Right. For people in the U.S. that are health conscious, like fermented food is a big thing. And, you know,
the booch,
right? Yeah. Making your own booch and like your mother culture and all that stuff is really great. However, you know, here, obviously, it's literally just part of your regular diet and such a fucking great counterpoint to other foods. You know,
is fermented. I mean, as a beer lover, I mean, like cheese, pickles, sausage, or like salamis and such, or like nama hamu. They're all fermented, basically. Yeah. So love all that shit.
Cool. Okay. So tell me, you know, we talked a little bit about your kind of start into the culinary career, and we didn't talk so much about like your different jobs. So we don't have to go to a resume, but I think people would be curious from just your perspective, not necessarily like a woman's perspective, but just as a, you know, young cook or cook in the kitchen in general, what is like one of the bigger challenges you faced in the kitchen?
I mean, everything is like hot, sharp, and heavy. Like there's plates, there's knives, you're dealing with fire and like hot oil, and it's like slippery or on your feet. It's just very physical. I think people know that about a kitchen, but like when you're day in and day out, like on your feet, on concrete floors, like as I get a little bit older, I can definitely feel it after the week and really just kind of, I spend like one day doing literally nothing. Like,
yeah.
Playing a game on my phone while something on YouTube is in the background and like taking naps here and there. So I would say like the physicality of it is pretty tough. And also when I was in America, you know, I worked in some open kitchens, so I didn't really have to deal with like customers like directly all the time. But where I work now is very front facing.
It's beyond open.
It's like
you're like in the dining room.
So, like, for me, I'm not – even though I have worked front of the house and it's obviously super important you're the person dealing with the customer. Like, I know what should happen, but that doesn't mean that I want to do that job every day. So, that also – just because humans can be kind of challenging sometimes and, like
– especially when they're paying for a service. Yeah. There are certain expectations or entitlements, right?
Yeah. Like, I had a customer ask me – is this good? Like about something on the menu. And maybe she didn't realize that it was my menu.
Right.
But why the fuck would I put something on a menu that is not good?
You're like listen.
I literally this is didn't shit. Know how to answer her.
Please order two of them.
My face is a open book. Like how I feel is directly planted on my face. So I have a really hard time trying to keep it like professional when someone is being like not this woman in particular, but just like being kind of shitty, you know, like, and or to my staff as well. Like I really don't tolerate that. The customer is not always right, by the way.
No, I mean I don't think you should tolerate that. And there's a fucking bottom line, right? Like when they're in your establishment, be fucking nice to the people who want to give you good food, want to give you good drinks, because they don't have to. And there's plenty of places that don't give a fuck about you. So when I go to a place that has like nice service, I feel like you have to fucking return that 1,000-fold. Because
I mean, for sure.
Yeah.
More often, I have many lovely customers. So it's more rare that I have like shitty customers than good ones. But it's definitely it comes with the territory.
Yeah.
Working in restaurants. There's a great guy on Instagram and I cannot think of his name right now, but he does the things where he like puts on wigs and plays all the parts and it's all like restaurant content. It is so fire and
send
on
that
point.
Shit to me. I want to check it out.
I will. And I'm sad I can't remember the name of it.
Okay. Well, we'll come back to it. We can fucking link it in the description if
if you work in restaurants, we'll believe me, you will love this.
But just really quickly to wrap up on that question, I think your answer about the physicality as a 46-year-old man who literally got into this business 10 months ago, the fuck?
Yeah.
Like my knee is fucking screaming at me.
Mine like pops every
time
day. I like bend down.
Yo,
I can hear
it's crazy.
It like pop.
Yeah. So A... don't wait to get into this business if that's your interest. do not follow my lead. But it's so fucking cool. Like, you know, when you like fucking put something out and make somebody happy though. So,
I mean, it's pretty creative. I mean, the nuts and bolts of it aren't creative. Mm. Like, but it has that like element of it that kind of satisfies that, like, kind of, because it's a craft.
Yeah. Oh, 100%. You know, fucking million.
So you're like making a thing and you have a product at the end, and like that part of it is very satisfying to me. You know, I always did art, and that's why I didn't even mean to get into graphic design. I just kind of like, you know, you're 18, you didn't know what the fuck you want to do with your life. Like, yeah. Even now I'm not still really very sure, but my friends were doing it. And then I'd always done art. And then like a friend opened up like a 3D animation studio, and yeah. He had me doing like storyboarding. And then I just kind of kept doing it. But then I ended up like working for like the Sears catalog, and it was so fucking boring.
Started out pretty great.
It also was not creative either. Like, yeah. People think graphic design, oh, that's so cool, you must be so creative. Like, no, I'm literally moving around jeans on a page for like 8 weeks.
I mean, let's be honest. If you were in the Sears catalog in the 1800s with the fucking, like, you know, Winchester rifles, right. That would have been pretty dope. But nowadays, yeah. The jeans.
Are they a thing anymore?
I don't know. But can I say something though really quickly about your shop? And by the way, what is the name of your restaurant?
It's called Salam. We are located in Hiro in the Eat Play Works building. I don't know why there's an S on Works, but here we are. It also is called The Restaurant, and it's kind of confusing, but it's in the same building as Blue Bottle that's on the Shotengai in Hiro. So I call it like a Oshare Yokocho, like a fancy, it's not a food hall because every place kind of has their own space.
Yeah.
So you don't, the terrace is shared, but it's a bunch of different restaurants. There's like soba and tonkatsu and Mexican.
There's Mexican.
Middle Eastern.
And there's also relatively like affordable sushi place that's fucking pretty high quality.
Yeah,
like,
Sushidan, shout out to Take.
Yeah.
He's a nice guy.
That place is nice. So I love that place. I think, you know, I don't get over there obviously enough because I'm fucking lazy.
Well, you're also busy running a fucking restaurant.
I'm a little bit busy running a
podcast.
Yeah, I'm trying to do.
I don't know how you find time.
I'm trying to do a few things. Well, this is her day off. So that's why we're drinking together, so that I can feel like a day off. But I'm also just like enjoying having this conversation. But one thing I really wanted to say though about your restaurant is that before I even met you, I had been to Oshomoko prior to, but I came back with a friend who's from Morocco, and she really wanted to eat your restaurant. So she's the one that took me over there, and we had a fucking lovely meal, you know.
That was
really tasty and full of fucking color and full of flavor, you know. And I'll say that because she is a vegetarian. It was such a fucking great meal, and I remember that. But it's just good food, and it's fucking hearty and filling, even without all the fucking like meats and stuff. However, though, you do have meat on the menu.
I mean, my goal is to have something for everyone. Yeah. And even in the U.S., I always try to make at least half my menu accessible to vegetarians because there's a lot more in the U.S. than here. But not everybody wants to eat vegetarian food. And especially in Japan, they are a general meat-loving population. They don't maybe eat all the time, but it was definitely a challenge at the beginning. The opening concept was to be just vegetarian, and after Corona and it was just domestic, you know, customers, it was a hard sell. So I put some chicken shawarma and lamb. I have chicken shawarma and lamb kefta, which is like spiced, it's kind of like a meatball. If I had a bigger kitchen, I would love to do it like kebab style and like grill it on a stick. But I have very limited space. So we do what we can.
So as an admirer of fucking chefs, etc., I think a lot of people, myself included, want to know, what is your approach to creating a new dish?
For new dishes, I guess, you know, listen to your customers. If people request things, or interested in things, just by talking to them, or just kind of holes in your menu, like, you know, the meat thing, for example. Like, I don't have beef right now, which I'm going to be putting something on the menu there, but not as just like an option, like chicken, lamb, or beef, you know, kind of making it a little bit special and a little bit different.
Do you know what beef item you're going to put on the menu?
Yeah, I'm going to do like a slow cooked kind of braised beef puff pastry.
Ooh,
like
okay.
It's like a, not a pie, it's not a hand pie, because I actually did a lot of testing on that.
Yeah.
It was pretty challenging. So it's going to have like harissa mayonnaise and some like slow roasted, like delicious beef with a flaky crust as kind of like a starter.
First of all, harissa mayonnaise beef sounds amazing. How did you come up with that idea, though? I mean, it sounds like obviously you did some testing and you did some playing around and you knew that you wanted to use that protein.
Yeah.
So did you kind of pick a protein and say, all right, I'm going to start with this base and then build something around that?
I mean, I definitely want to get some beef on the menu. But like I said, I don't use my stove really for service. It's right. Just like feasibly not possible. Like mm-hmm. if you guys saw my kitchen, like micro kitchen, the smallest kitchen I've ever worked in my life, in my professional career, like my home kitchen has more counter space.
Yeah.
Than my work kitchen. I just have a very fancy oven.
Yeah.
So I'm super limited, which is honestly quite frustrating at times because, you know, coming from, you know, building my own kitchen in Chicago to walking into somebody else's design for this project has been a challenge. And I definitely would have done it a different way if it were myself. So it's like kind of a lot of different elements, like what your menu needs, the seasonality of it. Like a lot of people change their menus with the seasons. If there's like asparagus or, you know, daikon, or I guess daikon is kind of always growing here. I'm not really sure the seasonality.
I feel like it is, but there must be like a
daikon season,
high season, but it's literally always available though, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, seasonality is so fucking huge here though, right?
I mean, it's pretty huge everywhere. I mean, but
yeah, that's true.
I also, this makes me think of how much I hate the term farm to table, because everything is literally from a fucking farm, you guys. Like, not trying to bust your bubble, but like, I know what they're trying to say,
right.
But you're saying something without saying really anything at all.
Mm. No, but you're right. I think there is a lot of seasonality everywhere. I think Japan, though, tends to take it to a little bit of a different level. Because it seems like just talking to people, general people who maybe are not kitchen professionals, et cetera, can probably tell you what's in season most of the time of the year. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's the case necessarily in the U.S. where you're like, hey, it's May. What's in season? You're like, I don't know, bread? You know, isn't pizza fucking season? I don't know. Like, I mean, obviously I'm simplifying shit, right. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's pretty nuts here.
For sure. And I mean, like I was talking about sansai earlier, like you only see those in the spring because they're just, I guess once they grow larger, they're probably woodier and like not delicious.
Bitter or whatever it is, right?
Yeah, bitter. And like most of them are like tempura situation. I thought I would see a little more wide variety of applications to the sansai, but you know, I'm not going to knock it.
Yeah.
They've been doing it for a while. So
right. And maybe that's it. Maybe that's like their method for that
particular. Yeah, they tried and they're like, you know what, guys, I think this is probably the best way to do it.
So like we've all decided this is the one method to use this particular mountain vegetable.
Delicious.
Yeah. We were talking about ingredients and things like that. But I want to talk about places because we both live in Tokyo and we both really appreciate the food culture in Tokyo. What is your favorite food destination? And we don't have to say Tokyo if we kind of both agree on that, but maybe what's your favorite food destination even in the city?
That's a tough one.
I know.
I mean, I'm pretty much always happy with izakaya, but a more local one where they kind of, because if you think about izakaya food and like how you would describe it to people, because an izakaya at the end of the day is a place to drink, but there is also food, like you're doing both at the same time. And it's kind of like the otsumami style, like smaller portions of things. So you can try a
snacks,
lot of different
right?
stuff.
Snack size, yeah.
Some fried stuff, some grilled stuff, like pickles, cold dishes. I'm pretty much always happy to go, like, what do you want? I don't know. Let's just go to Izakaya. There's one in, I think, Jiugaoka. I went with a friend, and it was super on point. Like,
really?
They're trying, like, some, like, a kind of a twist. Like, not just your standard, like, potato salad, or, like, I really love kani miso.
Oh, yeah.
It's so good.
Oh, my God. I love fucking
and
crab.
And then, like, fried oysters that are just, like, bomb.
Kaki fry?
Yes.
Fucking, dude, that's my fucking weakness.
Dude, it is so good.
I'm all about it.
That
I mean,
tartar,
like,
sauce?
Yeah.
So good. Yeah. And that aji fry.
Oh, yeah.
I can never a day I'm going to say, no, I don't want that aji fry.
I don't want that fried fish.
That's
like,
so good. I went aji fishing.
Oh, did you really?
It was super fun.
Is this
Tokyo
when you went
Bay.
Camping recently? You went camping recently.
I went camping recently, but this was last year.
Okay, okay. Different
two
time.
2 years ago for my friend's birthday.
Uh-huh.
That was his choice.
Oh, sweet.
So on Tokyo Bay, you can go aji fishing if you're down to go
do
fishing.
Do you eat the aji
in
Tokyo Bay?
Yeah, so many. There was like 10 of us, and we got like 200 aji.
What the fuck?
But they're kind of annoying to butcher. They have these hard scales by their tail that are like, I guess it makes them hard to eat, like for predators. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure, but that's the only like kind of, and they're pretty small, so a lot of work for like a small fish.
Right. You're from the US, you're working in Japan, and you're working in Middle Eastern cuisine. What are your thoughts on the word authentic?
You know, I struggle with that one because, you know, I am not of Middle Eastern descent. So I do have a little bit of Jewishness in there. I did not grow up with any of that, like, background, really. So, I mean, I wouldn't call it authentic because I'm not from the Middle East.
But sure.
I do have one customer. He's, like, the attaché for, like, Saudi Arabia. And he's, like, he said once, your food, why is your food better than some of the food I've had back home? And I'm like, oh, that makes me so happy because I kind of feel worried when I have like Middle Eastern guests come in, like they're going to think that it's not as good.
Do you feel like a little bit of like a fraud in that moment or whatever?
Yeah.
But so, and you know what? And I want to let you finish first. Sorry, just do my Kanye impression really quick. But Beyonce did have the fucking greatest video of all time. No, but the reason I bring this up is, to add some context to that question, is that I think that that word is such a fucking buzzword. I think that it's so loaded with a bunch of bullshit. And if I can take over my own question for 1 second, because it is my podcast. I have a real fucking problem with that word, authentic or authenticity. And people that come in here and say, like, wow, your food's really authentic. Like, I love the praise. I love the compliments. Like, because, come on, I'm a human.
Right.
But at the same time, I don't even fucking know what that means. Authentic to me is the shit that I grew up cooking in my own home. There's a lot of Mexican food, and you know, it's very trendy now, right? We kind of talked about this.
Yes, it is.
Tacos are literally having their moment in Tokyo.
It's a thing, everyone.
Whatever's authentic to the person that's cooking, that's great. I know you, that you don't take like your work lightly, and that you put thought into your menu. Like, I see that even in the conversations that we've had. So I think that the food that you're making is authentic to you, and you feel that like you're honoring those flavor profiles, and that's all you can do. Because let's be honest, like, you know, we all know that hummus, like even between countries, there are fucking fights about what is like authentic or the best hummus, right?
Like, I had a customer who asked, I was using tahini that was imported, and then in Japan they use a lot of sesame. They call it neri goma pesto. So it's like the ground sesame paste. So I just started using the domestic product because carbon footprint, it's cheaper. It is a little bit different, where I believe tahini is raw seeds, where the Japanese one is toasted, but I kind of like it better. Like, it gives it like a more roasty, like nutty, like almost like peanut buttery vibe.
You've chosen to use a product that maybe lowers the carbon footprint while trying to honor the tradition of what's involved in that dish. And again, I don't know if that's the case. I'm just...
Like I was saying, that customer was... I think he was kind of like bummed out that I was using like
a Japanese product. Sure.
And, you know, like, you can't make everybody happy. Like,
so my food is authentic to me. And like, it's frustrating because... I just think that this word carries so much weight, and it tends to discount originality sometimes, mm. right? And to me, I think if you have an understanding of a culture, or an, I shouldn't say culture, but a food, you know, then you can fucking riff on it and you can do whatever the fuck you want. And we do some tacos that are absolutely like outlandish, if you will. Like we did a taco rice taco. You know, is that fucking authentic? No, man. But do I want to eat that? Fuck yeah. It was super good.
Does taco rice exist in America? Did I not notice it before?
That's Okinawan for sure.
Is it?
Yeah.
I thought it was a Japanese thing, but I'm like...
It is definitely a Japanese thing. It's definitely like an Okinawa thing. Mm. While I don't put rice in burritos, because that's a Northern California thing. Don't even get me started on that.
Do not put fucking rice in a goddamn burrito.
Just fill it full of fucking meat and all the goodies.
Give me some avocados. Yep. Give me some pico de gallo up in that bitch.
Yep. I am not above fucking eating Taco Bell. Like, there's no shame in my game. I'll go to Shibuya and eat Taco Bell. Right before they fucking close, right? Why the fuck not? Like it's
every
just,
once in a while.
It's comfort mode, man.
It is. It's like nostalgic.
Yes,
for like high school.
100%. You know? High school. You're fucking better than I am. Like right before I left, I mean, there was a Taco Bell by my house, and I swear to God, there was an amazing Mexican restaurant by my house, or a taco shop by my house. So I would sometimes go to the taco shop and sometimes I would go to fucking Taco Bell and get a Mexican pizza and eat some dirty ass fucking shit. And I don't mean dirty in a bad way. I just mean it's fucking grimy and late night food. Mm. Okay, we're going to wrap things up. And first of all, thank you for taking time off on your day off. I know how busy you are and I know that the season is fucking restaurant and beer season.
It is going hard.
So thanks for coming out.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, of course. We're so happy to have you. Thanks for sharing like your thoughts on food here, you know, on working here in Tokyo, on a little bit about your background, on authenticity, which is a fucking like hot button topic.
Farm to table,
all that shit. And I really appreciate like your honest take on that stuff. Thanks so much for listening to episode 2 of Beer Friends Forever. We'll probably keep drinking for a little bit until Rachel has to leave. But can you just tell everybody one more time where they can find your food and find you and stuff?
My restaurant is in the Hiro Eat Play Works building. It's called Salam. Eat more veggies if you look it up on the Googs. We are on there. I try to update that and keep the days accurate. Our website, not so much, but we are on Instagrams at salam_hiro, HIROO. And we are closed on Wednesdays, so please don't come then because you'll be super disappointed.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you. So much fun.
Yeah, thanks so much for being here.
See you later.
Matane. And bye-bye. Oh, matane. All right, I'm going to include some Japanese. Bye-bye, guys.